Welcome to the Renovating Australia podcast, where we'll take you on site with industry leaders, experts, and everyday people who've mastered DIY or are just giving it a go.
If you're starting a renovation, building a new house, or just looking for some inspo, we've got you covered.
Before we get started, everything we talk about on this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek the help of a licensed financial advisor or professional consultant.
So let's renovate Australia.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Renovating Australia podcast. I'm your host, Alicia Chapman, and joined as always by my co-host, Katie Caudry.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Amazing. So we are again on a Zoom call today, which is so exciting because we have a guest that's a little bit further away from us than Brisbane. So we have Justine from Orton House. Hi, Justine.
Hello, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the podcast, Justine. So I'm excited. Be here.
Yeah. And I was just mentioning before we started recording, I think my favorite thing about these Zoom calls is getting to see a snippet of everyone's house. So we've got a beautiful floral arrangement behind you and those dreamy curtains. We can kind of see a snippet of the house that we all love so much.
It's funny because 2 seconds ago, the kids were eating eggs in this exact spot and I just got this tea towel and I just whooshed it all to the other end of the bed. And shot the camera up on our little pod point in our island bench. So from your angle, it looks really clean and pleasant, but from mine, it's an absolute mess.
That's always the best thing about video calls. It's kind of just don't look that way and you're fine.
I'm loving the Zoom thing because I can just put it in the one spot. There's no tour.
Yeah.
My one little pocket of goodness.
So good. Amazing. Well, let's jump straight into that. So who is the Orton family? Who lives with you in this beautiful house?
So we've got my husband, Luke, who is a builder, and myself, and we've got our two kids. I've got a son, Edison, who is 4.5, and a daughter, Mabel, who is 2.5. So the four of us live here in this home.
And it is such a beautiful home. So based in Newcastle. And is that where you've always been? Have you always been down in Newcastle?
So I grew up about half an hour away from here in East Maitland, and this house is in Merriweather, which is just a little coastal town in Newcastle, and Luke's actually from Coffs Harbour, so he's been here in Newcastle for about, 15 or so years now, maybe even a bit more, but his family's all in Coffs Harbour, so we've sort of met a little bit in the middle.
Yeah, nice. It's so gorgeous. And this house, I've mentioned before we started recording as well, it is all over my Pinterest. And I think so many of our listeners and everyone who follows, every time we pop it up, they're like, yes, serious goals, inspo, like you have inspired so many people with this house.
I know. It's got a bit crazy. It's so good. But sometimes I'm scrolling through Pinterest and I think I'm actually getting sick of seeing my house. I hope no one else is.
Absolutely not. Gosh. Can promise you that no one's getting sick of seeing it.
Oh, good.
No way. It is. It's so cool. So when did your building journey begin? I guess, you know, this house isn't the first thing that you guys have built. So where did that start?
So building houses for ourselves started 10 years ago now. We bought our first home about 40 minutes away from here, closer to my hometown of Maitland. And Luke and I had been living overseas for 12 months and we came home for a wedding and we were going back to London. And in the interim, we were just doing a bit of temporary work and Luke was subcontracting for a project home building company. And they had one block of land left that they couldn't really get rid of. And they basically offered it to us to do a house and land package for, I think back then, it was like $320,000. Wow. And it was kind of like this opportunity that we came back from overseas with nothing. And we were like, this is probably our opportunity to get into the housing market. Maybe we should do this and just rip in, build a house for 6 months and go back overseas. But that obviously just didn't happen. We built the house and went, this is really what we love and this is what we want to do. Let's keep growing on this. And from there, we did a live-in renovation about 10 minutes away from where we are now. And we've done, I think, 5 or 6 projects on the side since then.
Wow.
And it sort of just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I guess, like, talking to that, you know, what was your favorite?
It would have to be probably the house we did prior to this one. It was a live-in renovation that we did. We just chipped away at over 3 years, and it's where we had our first son. It's where we sort of, it was the house that we did the best out of in terms of money as well and experience. So, yeah, that one at Katara South, that would probably have to be our favourite.
So good. And those other projects that you've done on the side, you haven't lived in those. They've kind of just been ones that you've been doing as sort of passion projects or part of the company or?
So a bit of both. So with the one we lived in for 3 years, we did two projects on the side of that. So we would work on our house on weekends and nighttime, and then through the week as Orton Building, we would do client work as well as like one project for ourselves on the side each year. So they were ones that, like for example, one of them was a little old house that had DA approval at the back for another house. So we did the new house at the back and then renovated the front house and sold them both at once. And that was on the side while we were living in our live-in renovation, which we sort of just, the one we lived in, we were just literally chipping away at it. We didn't refinance. We didn't get loans. We would just save, renovate, save, renovate, save, renovate. And so that was the process. We'd have ones that we did through Orton Building and the one that we lived in for over a few years.
Oh my gosh, nothing like a full schedule to keep you busy.
It was crazy.
And one on the side.
I had a full-time job as well. Gosh. Yeah, it was crazy, but it's so amazing. Like we look back at it now and go, well, our life is still crazy. You know, now we've just got two extra kids. So really, it's all crazy, the building game, isn't it?
100%. I think that's something that is so common across everyone that we talk to, either on the podcast or just people that we chat to in this community, is everyone has such hectic lives and renovation is just like this bolt-on or something that they do. But it is, and it sounds strange to people who don't feel the same as we all do, but it is like a hobby, right? Like you invest every time that you can, and everyone's like, oh gosh, how do you find the time to do that? But because you love it, it just happens. Like it's not
happens.
A chore.
That's right. And you prioritize it. It just becomes a part of who you are. I think I would take my washing to work. People we'd be eating out all the time because we didn't have a kitchen for 3 months. Like you just, and at the time you think, gosh, this is so stressful, but it actually is part of the fun now. Like I wouldn't want my life any other way. Even now in like a little bit of a downtime, I'm really enjoying the downtime actually, but you miss the chaos. Like, and I think people that aren't married to builders, and then they renovate and then they stop. I think a lot of the time they end up missing it and then they end up doing other projects because they love it so much, even though I think you forget about the craziness and the stressfulness and you want it back in your life.
Yeah.
It's like this thing.
Being addicted to the chaos. Like it's an actual thing. Yeah.
And I think especially with Instagram and things, and then you're following other people's journeys, and you're like, that's so amazing. Or you come up with a new idea and you're like, I want to try that now. I need a new project so that I can use that colour.
Right? Yeah. I just need a new house for that new deluxe range. 100%. Yeah, no, we are, we're so funny at the moment. We are at the point where we can't do any more of our renovation ourselves. And so Nick and I are just sitting here and of course, like waiting for our builders. It's all going to kick off. It's going to happen. We sat there the other night looking at each other like, do you want to find a small project to do a flip on? Which other people, I told someone at work the other day and they're like, what? Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, I miss doing stuff. Like, I can't do any more in this house.
Funny.
It is the lifestyle.
So you mentioned before that Luke is a builder. Talk us through, like, how did that all start? How did Orton Building start?
So Orton Building has been operating now for 9 years. Luke was a subbie for probably 3 or 4 years prior to that. And then we started Orton Building when we got married. And it was just him and one of our friends. It started off and we had one project in the pipeline. And it literally just grew from that. The very first project that he did as Orton Building was for a friend. And then it was just word of mouth. So then it was a friend of a friend, and then a friend of a friend of a friend. And then within, I think, 18 months, we had tripled the staff. And then within 3 or 4 years, we had 20 staff. Wow. And we did that of just craziness like for a few years. And then the last 2 years, we scaled it back again and gone, we just want to do more of our own projects and more quality one-on-one time with clients, and we just do 2 big jobs at any one time, and we've got a team of 10 now, and we've just found our sweet spot. I think like that's where we can manage it a bit better. We get a bit of a lifestyle outside of that. Like, don't get me wrong, being a builder, there isn't really downtime. And especially when you're building people's dream homes, you have to be emotionally available to them all the time. And some require a lot more than others. But in saying that, like, they're investing a lot of time, energy, and money in your business to bring something that they're so invested in to life. You have to have a really strong relationship with them. And that means taking calls at nighttime and catching up on weekends or doing 2 to 3 hour site meetings that you didn't really anticipate. Like, it just yeah. happens. It's part of the game. Yeah. And you've got to take the pros with the cons with that industry.
Yeah. And that's really cool that you did take that time to reflect and sort of scaled it back down to keep that balance. Because I yeah. think that's where you can lose not the niche, but I guess the personality of a building business and having that
Absolutely. Those
relationships, because, you know, you get bigger and bigger and bigger. And as you say, you just don't have that time. So
that's right. And a lot of the time they want Luke, like they just want Luke. So we've had other people on in the senior like project management roles and they've been great people, but they just want Luke at the end of the day, and he can't spread himself that thin. Like, it was too hard running 5 or 6 projects in one time. Is incredibly hard. So you need to either invest in getting the right team and people around you. But I think for us, it was just having the right team, and it was a small team, because also staffing is hard about a building business as well. And we found as soon as you have one kind of employee that doesn't fit in as much as everyone, like, it can throw the whole balance out. So there's, with having a building business, there's staffing concerns, there's client concerns, there's supply concerns, there's all these things that you have to juggle. And to get it right, you've got to find what works for you. And for us, that's a team of 10 beautiful people, 2 to 3 amazing clients at any one time, and also trying to do our own project on the side. Like, that was the dream for us. And like, we finally found that spot now. And yeah, I mean, awesome. Yeah, it's still very hectic,
yeah.
but we're in a happy place, which is nice. But we've, yeah, definitely gone through some highs and lows of having a building business, that's for sure.
So, yeah, touching on that, most of us are on the other side of this. So, you know, we're building these projects and engaging builders and getting them to help us. Now, we all can't obviously come and use Orton Building, unless you want to, you know, commute to Brisbane or send the whole team up here. So what would you recommend to someone that's searching for a builder to work with?
For us, we always recommend when people go, oh, we're going out to tender to get 3 or 4 building quotes, that's not really effective for us. For us, we sort of go, well, we're probably not the right builder for you, because all the builders, we have, you know, similar margins, similar suppliers. We all have the same kind of, we offer the similar service. So for us, we like to find someone that engages us in the early stages and goes, this, and they're transparent with us, we're transparent with them. They go, this is my budget, this is what I want to do, can I do it? And we work together collaboratively to get to that goal, rather than someone going, yeah, we've just, here are our detailed plans, I'm sending them out to, you know, X amount of builders. A lot of the time when that happens, you're not comparing apples with apples. Like, they may put a provisional sum for demolition of $5,000 and we may have got an actual quote for it and it's $25,000, you know? Like, there's so many elements there that can be hidden in a building contract. So for us, we are very transparent. We have a very detailed tender process and we work with the client to get to where they want to get to, and it works better when you work together in that sense. And it takes a lot of time and effort to do that. So I just think that it's better when we work together throughout the process rather than at the end when you're comparing with a few other builders.
That's great advice. And I think it's something that we heard a couple of weeks ago from some real estate agents that we spoke to as well, is getting them engaged early in the process. And it sounds like that's really the way to do a successful process, is get your team around you so that you build and create something that, if you're doing it for yourself, that you love, that works, is within budget, and you're not, you know, deviating away from that because you have to at the end.
Yeah.
building it that way from the start, or if it's a flip, you're making smart decisions again from
exactly.
the start.
Exactly. That's a great idea. So yeah, for our next project, we've already spoken to a couple of real estate agents about what we should do for that as well, because it is for resale and not for keeping. But that's exactly right. So we will have architects or designers that will recommend based on certain things that the client may want or need. So the earlier you touch base with your builder, the better, I think. Because if you've got a team of people like an agent, a builder, an architect, designer, as well as all the trades, and you're all on the same page and working to the same goal, it makes the process so much more enjoyable. And you build that rapport and trust. So when you say, oh, look, that vanity is, you know, $500 dearer than your original one, here's the detail, clients will approve them straight away because there's that transparency there and you've got that trust built up. And that makes the whole process easier. I think a lot of the times when builds go wrong, it's when people aren't being open and honest about the cost of things and just dumping people with information or with a price and going, it was $2,500 extra for that plumbing. But people, they don't know, you know, how much a plumber costs. They don't know how much those materials cost. They don't know how much time's involved in that. You need to be open and honest about that. And then if they have that information and they understand it, then they approve it. Yeah. And it makes for a happy relationship too at the end.
Yeah, definitely. Gosh, I wish we could just pick up our house and move it down to where you guys are. Are there any questions that you think are really important to ask someone when you are trying to find that perfect person to work with?
Oh, definitely. We always show prospective clients through existing builds that we've got on the go. So we'll say, come and have a look at this site. This is one we're working at the moment so that they can see the team. Or we also give them a few lists of recent projects that we finished in the last 12 months that they can go and have a look at those houses as well. So I think seeing their work and speaking to previous clients is really, really helpful because you get a really true aspect. So and they'll be completely open and honest about things that they're happy with, unhappy with, and that's good, really. So I think definitely see some of their previous work.
Yeah. Yeah. Months and months ago, we were not talking to builders, but we'd gone through a couple of projects that they'd done that were open houses. And we're walking through and we're like, either, wow, this is incredible. Like the attention to detail is so good in this property. Or you'd walk through and go, oh, wow, there's still a lot of defects in here.
That's exactly right.
But I've picked them up and, you know, they haven't been fixed before this has gone to market. So yeah,
exactly.
Great, great advice. Nice one.
So let's talk about Auden House 1. Obviously, we said before that we have pinned your house so many times. And I think I've literally saved or like taken a screenshot of pretty much every single room in your house because it's just divine. Talk us through, how did the whole build come together?
Okay, so we lived in the house that was here before this build for 2 or 3 years, I think. And it was so old and so borderline unlivable, like lots of air coming through the floorboards and no bath.
Love that.
And, you couldn't have hot water in one room running at the same time as the other. It literally had nothing. But it was really good to live here because we got to learn about the space and about the aspect and where the best light was and how we wanted to live in on this block. And it was a nice big block and it was flat, so we had a fair bit of opportunity there. And then originally we were renovating, so we had the plans done up to renovate. Mm-hmm. And it just had so many issues with council. That's a whole nother topic, but it just wasn't happening, so we couldn't go up essentially. But how the house was originally, it didn't work if we couldn't go up because we couldn't use half the block. So we then had to redesign a single story, which we always love a single story the most. Like, I love what you can do with single story with high ceilings and angles and open spaces. So that wasn't an issue for us. It was just going through the whole redesign process, which was quite stressful. But we got there in the end and we had a few things that we wanted, and that was just like 3 bedrooms, 2 living areas. And we wanted it to be different. We wanted to bring, fun or just something special, neutral but special. It was always on the goal, like textures and lots of windows and natural light. And Luke's big thing was hardwood, like natural timber.
Yeah,
beautiful. So we just, worked together on all those items. It's got little courtyards throughout the house. And it's honestly, it's just so beautiful. And lots of curves and pieces of interesting architecture and design, which is really nice.
Yeah, beautiful. And so when you started this, was this always something that you were going to live in forever? Or what was sort of the decision-making process when you were designing the home?
Yeah, it was because it's in an area where we're 10 minutes walk to the beach. The schools here are beautiful. We're 2 minutes from work. It was in an area that we do want to live for a long time. And so we designed the house around, the kids growing up, and we've got a kids zone. So that kind of separates that area from the entertaining areas or even from our bedroom and things like that. So we did design it around our lifestyle being here for a long time.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, this project, did it change a lot along the way? Like, of course, you have a little bit of that flexibility if you're building it yourself. But did you have that vision from the start, or did that sort of eventuate over time?
The curves and the angles, that was all set in stone from the get-go. So I think we had the plans done probably 3 years ago now, yeah. But in terms of the finishes, that changed a lot throughout the build, yes. That was awful.
Oh, gosh. It would be so hard because there's no one to say, no, you can't do that. It's just yourself saying, yeah. Yes, I would like that.
Yeah, and it's funny because I always say to our clients, like, the more you know at the start, the better it is. Like, we can definitely change things, but the more that you have your head around everything at the beginning, like, and do mood boards together and things like that, like, it makes for a smoother process. And I just did the complete opposite to that. So
so you learned that the hard way. Yeah.
Yeah, which is so crazy because you end up spending so much more time, energy. And a lot of the time you end up going back to where you started, but it's the cost of those changes as well is very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And so obviously being builders and having the ability to be, I guess, an owner builder is really cool. What are some other perks that you can think of for someone who is owning building? Like, there's obviously pros and cons to it. Pro being you can change it all as much as you like.
Yeah, that's the big pro is that, like Luke would have built something and then I'm like, oh no, that doesn't work. We need to change that. And he'd have to redo it. And like, that's something that no one else can really do. Like, we're very lucky to be able to do that. So we could perfect it throughout the process. The other pros are just, I think probably on reflection, just looking back, and I'm so unbelievably proud of Luke and he is of me too, like that we did this together. Like, this is all us. Like, we, every little decision was us. It came down to us and our choices and our team and how we got there. Like, that was all us. And so the pro is like just being so unbelievably proud of what we've achieved and going, we built this. Like, people are tagging our house. They're pinning our house. We did this, like, these two little country bumpkins, and we've created something so amazing.
Yes, 100%. I don't agree with the country bumpkin statement because everything just looks so glamorous, but I love that. And I also love how transparent you guys have been, creating episodes. If you are listening to this and you haven't watched the episodes of Orton House Unfolding, they are some of my favorite things that I've ever seen. But did you have that vision from the get-go as well, that you wanted to be able to share this project?
No, we didn't. That came from one of our suppliers. They contacted us and wanted to film a build and did we have anything exciting coming up? And we were sort of looking around at different projects and kind of going, yeah, maybe this one, maybe that one. And at that stage, we were just in the design stage of our house. And then we said to them, do you want to do our house? Like, if we did our house a bit sooner, would you want to film it? And it, honestly, it was going to be like one episode kind of a thing. And then it ended up just being bigger than Ben Hur, just kept growing and growing and growing. And we kind of went, well, let's just do room reveal episodes. And then that probably influenced my design changes as well throughout the build, because I was like, oh my gosh, there's pressure. There's going to be episodes about this. So that's probably why there was a lot of changes too. So that was never going to happen. That was kind of something that just happened right before the build started.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
totally.
Was there a room or a space within this house that was your absolute favourite to bring to life, or that you just couldn't wait to finish?
I think the ensuite probably, and that's probably the one that's on Pinterest the most, but the tiled ceiling and the angles in there and the tiles in there, that was, yeah, a lot of hard work and decision making. So that one was the one I was most excited about and the one that people probably walk into and go, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And big changes from having, you know, as you said, the house that when you first started with air coming up through the floorboards to this incredible space. Yeah. Somewhere where you can love to be every day.
That's right. And I don't think we didn't have a bath for 6 or 7 years, I think it was. And now we've got two.
Yeah.
Just spoil off the joy.
That's always nice.
Nice one. Cool. So as we've said, we just love this house so much. And you mentioned earlier you are working on another project now, so Orton House 2. That isn't going to be something that you are moving into, but can you tell us a little sneak peek about that project and what we can expect there?
It's going to be different because it's a duplex and it's also a warehouse conversion. So, yeah, it's currently our office and our shed, and we basically can't touch the existing outside walls, which means no windows down the sides of the house, which is huge because our big thing is natural light. So we've just had to go crazy on skylights and light wells and things like that. So it's going to be really unique, I think, which is really exciting.
That is so exciting. And when can we expect to see a little sneak peek of that?
So I literally just got a virtual tour that our designer's done, Zoe at YHD, for us. So I'll share that soon. But we're hoping to start it in January. So it probably won't be finished till next July, August, I'd say now. Or actually, we're looking at having January off. So we'll probably start February, actually.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, so, yeah, but we'll do the same thing, document the whole process. And because it's two houses, it will be a lot more design choices and design processes and a lot more going on with that, I think.
Very exciting. And I know we touched on this briefly before, but talk us through the Orton House caravan. How did that come about?
So the caravan happened when we finished the house. We'd been living here for 3 or so months and we knew that we didn't want to start the next Orton House project until the following year, but we still wanted a project. And it was kind of lucky. I've looked for caravans on and off for years, honestly. Like it's always been something that I thought that'd be great fun to do, but we never had the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we had the time, and it was kind of lucky because I found this caravan for $2,500 online right before COVID breakdown. So I found it because now they're so expensive to buy old caravans. I couldn't believe it because I've been looking for my friends now who will want to do it too. And there's nothing under $6,000 or $7,000. It's really hard. So we were lucky that we got this little bargain, and she's beautiful. Like she's nearly finished. We just need to do like all the auto electrical stuff has been hard to get our head around, but that's nearly all done. And then we just got to get a proper annex and paint it all. And so that will be ready for Christmas now. We were meant to go away up north to North Queensland over this last school holidays, but with the borders and whatnot, it just didn't happen. So that took the rush off the deadline a bit. And now we're heading up to Coffs for Christmas. So we'll have it ready for Christmas now.
Oh, that'll be so fun. And that's a great way to sort of, you know, the kids will love that as well.
Oh, they're so excited. Like we've been working on it every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, last few months, and yeah, they're always talking about their caravan, they call it.
Yeah. Oh, so cute.
So good. So good. And have you found it hard to find things to go into it? Like, you know, to spruce it up and make it the caravan that you want to be in. Have you found it difficult to source?
Oh, renovating a caravan is harder than renovating a house. It is ridiculous. It's a whole nother ball game. We've had to redo things a few times, but it's good because you don't need as much of everything. So you can buy nice things because you only need such a small quantity. But the price does build up quite quickly. We're lucky we don't even have to completely gut ours. We just had to do a bit of a kind of like make the bed a little bit bigger and put the bunks in and things like that, but not actually strip it. I don't know how people do it when they have to completely strip it. It would just be an absolute nightmare. I don't know how they do it. But for us, obviously it helps Luke having good building skills, but it's very different to a house. So we've been learning a lot.
Yeah, that is a really cool side project. Maybe you guys could look at doing something like that, Alicia. Oh,
yeah, that's a better option than another house. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, no, I hope Nick doesn't listen to this episode because we do actually need somewhere to live when we're doing this house. So that would be like, yeah, great, awesome project, but I would like a shower and a bathroom. We grew up on a farm, so I'm very used to caravan and camping and all of the times when you didn't have a shower. So if
we can remember, that would be great. Those days are gone. Yeah, so I'm coming into those days.
Yeah. I know, I'll probably be like that when I have kids, though. I'll be like, yeah, it's camping.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what happens. Like, that's where we are probably at our most relaxed, is in those environments, and where the kids have the most fun, it's those caravan parks or those country settings, and the dirtier they are, the more fun they have.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, that is so interesting. Like, I just cannot wait to see all of these projects come to life. Caravan first, but this new build with no windows on the side, like, gosh, I just can't wait to see how you do that. So we'll keep everyone posted and we'll pop everything in the show notes so everyone can follow along. But where can people find you?
We've got the little Instagram, the Orton.house, or we've also got Orton Building, and online we've got our websites as well. But majority of our content and contact info comes through Orton House and stuff.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. We'll put that in the show notes. But thank you again so much for taking the time to share with us, and we can't wait to see it all come to life.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Justine.
Thanks. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. If you liked it, don't forget to hit subscribe and share the episode with your reno friends.
If you're looking for like-minded people, come and join us in our private Facebook group. Or follow us on the gram at renovating_Australia. See you next time.